You're listening to the Tennis.com podcast. And here's your host, Ed McGrogan.
Hi, everybody. Weekend edition of the Tennis.com podcast. I'm Ed McGrogan talking with Pete Bodo at Roland Garros. After Saturday, day seven's play has wrapped up. This was another day, Pete, where I think, like yesterday, to me, it was one of those slam days where lots of interesting matches are colliding with each other, many of them off the top courts. And what happened, we saw this afternoon, among other things, you have Jamie Hampton beating Petra Kvitova to cap off a really great run by the U.S. women. You have, of course, what I wanted to get to is John Isner and Tommy Haas. This another match that Isner, you know, he just finds ways to put himself in the record books, I think in many cases for the wrong reasons, but this one was just another example of what can happen when he steps up and someone doesn't want to relent. He ends up saving Isner 12 match points. Haas wins on his 13th in the fifth set. There's a lot more to it than that, but can you kind of give me the scene as you saw some of this, you know, over in Paris? It was just another wild one.
Well, it was electric, of course, and people here. I mean, I was in the press room for most of it, basically working on my Rafael Nadal story. And you know, even in the press room, you had guys clustered around TVs, and you'd hear suddenly, "Oh no! Oh yeah, he's going to get it this time! Oh no!" You know, and you know, the takeaway here, though, in all honesty, is that when you got a guy like Isner, who's got such a big weapon and who's got really, you know, so many sort of holes in his game as well. The inability to break as easily as some other guys, his a little bit of trouble movement. He's such a big guy getting down to balls or getting two balls. You know, this is what happens. You know, you've got a guy who can't be beaten, but who also can't win because of certain flaws in his game. So, it, you know, it really is kind of a, you know, instead of being a puzzler or something, you know, sort of semi-mystical or out there, this is really what you get when you have a player like Isner.
Yeah, and correct me if I'm wrong, or I don't believe, I don't believe I was wrong about this, but Isner, you know, Isner himself did see one match point of his own. It was, you know, not on his serve, and it was just, you know, it's startling when you compare the, you know, his return. If you want to take the total opposite of how much his serve gives him, you have what his return really takes away from him. And if I'm not mistaken, he put a second serve right into net on his one and only match point chance. And, you know, it's a thing where I know people talk about Isner, where they'll say, well, if he was only such a, you know, even a mediocre returner, he would be this even bigger of a threat. But that's just, you know, he would not be the same server if he had, you know, a return of such higher caliber. It's just the way he plays, and it's almost not even surprising to me at this point when you get sort of outcomes like this. We saw it last year in the French. He goes 18-16 against Mathieu.
Well put.
Yeah, so it's another sort of chapter in that. Tommy Haas, of course, you know, 35-year-old, goes on to the next, to the final 16 here. I did want to kind of get your take on, speaking of the final 16 on the women's side, there's four Americans in the final 16, and I think sort of playing that, you know, this American in Paris narrative really isn't just kind of a creation. This has been an exceptional tournament for them, and the last two entrants, you have Jamie Hampton going in, you have Sloane Stephens going in, and then also Bethany Maddox-Sands going in, all today joining Serena.
You know, and they're not done yet, because, you know, I think Sloane Stephens, I watched her match today, I wrote about it. I think she's playing tremendous tennis. She gets Sharapova, who I think really is beatable here today. Sharapova struggled a little bit, was lucky to get by, you know, Zhizheng as quickly as she did anyway in two sets. But, you know, I think Sloane Stephens is a real deal. I think her poise was tremendous today against Arakovic, and Arakovic played a pretty good match, and she's got a big forehand. So, you know, Sloane knows what's in store, and I think she's playing well within herself. She's been very consistent. And, you know, Bethany's a different player now than she was a year or two ago. She's got a lot more power. She played a real clay court digger today in Orma Gachea and came through with that. So this is by no means smoke and mirrors. And Jamie Hampton, you know, she's a very gifted player, can do it all. She's got all the shots. You know, these women are really, really, you know, coming into their own.
Yeah, they are. I mean, they are actually all matches. I think Sloane obviously has the hardest task against Sharapova. But Hampton goes against Yankovic, Matic goes against Kirilenko. These are not, it's not they're getting Serena in the next round. They're getting players who already at this point they've shown they can do pretty well against top quality competition. Matic beating Lee today, Hampton beating Kvitova. So
hey, listen, you know what, with Hampton, I mean, I think I even called this yesterday on our show. I certainly did with my buddies here in the press room. I said, you know, hey, don't worry about it. Hampton's going to win this match, and I really believe that because of the way she's playing, and of course also how nervous Kvitova can be.
Yeah, it's and all three, the three who played today, of course, all in one half of the draw. So I mean, if you really want to go out on a limb and try to think, you know, down the road, there are a lot of options there to see what happens. So we'll take a look at all of them in the next couple days when they play there. On the men's side, to kind of wrap up the fourth round, it's just about settled. There's really one match to go. You know, you have Djokovic today in a dud of a match against Dimitrov, taking him down 2-2 and 3. You watch Nadal, like you said there, and for Rafa, this is the third match in a row where you would hardly say it was conventional French Open dominance for him. You know, we're not seeing those 0-1-1 score lines even in the early rounds here. And today he didn't lose a set today, but he was down a set point in the first set and was made to work pretty good by Fanini there. So, you know, what's your takeaway from Rafa's play up to this point?
Well, he gets a pass on this one because Fognini is a master of chaos, basically. I mean, he can just basically drive you nuts with the way he plays. And if you look at it, Rafa had an extraordinary number, like 28 break points or something. Fognini himself had like 11 break points against Rafa. This was just kind of almost a chaotic match. But the fact that Rafa got through it, I think, was good for him. He really feels he's anxious. He's admitted it. I think it's probably the pressure of winning here again for the eighth time. You know, it's eventually it gets to you, but he feels like he really needs to do some work to get his game up. But I think getting through this match in straight sets was a great victory for him. And I'll tell you what, I think Rafa's really kind of dodging a bullet here because he's fundamentally two guys who could have done the same kind of thing as Fognini today, who you hate to play if you don't have confidence. Benoit Paire and Jerzy Janowicz both lost today. So he's going to get like the Wawrinkas of this world, and I think Nadal is going to be in much better shape against them.
It is, as you say, it is a very veteran heavy, and I say that because veteran meaning in the sense that Nadal has played these guys over and over again, especially on clay, and really none of them have stepped up in the past. And it is very, I think it's harder to think of someone like them unseating Rafa as opposed to maybe you get that match of a lifetime from Janowicz, for example. And I think it's a good point about Nadal kind of making his way through these first couple steps here. And you know, I don't think for him he can play really, in a sense, much worse if you think about how well he played coming into this tournament. So we'll see what happens for him, but he's in the fourth round there. I guess last thing, you know, fourth round completed. We'll have matches tomorrow. You know, what looks appetizing from you, whether it's tomorrow or a couple days from now, in terms of fourth round matchups?
Well, right now I haven't had a good chance to look over the draw looking well forward, but I mean, you know, for tomorrow, I think, you know, it actually looks like pretty easy going, frankly. I mean, Sanga has Troisky, which is, you know, a very winnable match. Simone is Federer. You know, Roger, I think, will, you know, I don't think Simone's got the guns, and I don't think he's got the sort of the brass and the moxie to sort of do much with him. I think one of the interesting ones is Kevin Anderson against David Ferrer. You know, you'd think that Ferrer would shoot him to pieces, basically, you know, Sniper David, but I'm not so sure about that. Anderson's playing well. He's got a big serve. Anything can happen. Robredo, unfortunately, Robredo Almagro ought to be a good match, but Robredo's legs are going to be very tired after his big win five sets yesterday.
Yeah, and the women's here. I'll just bring it up and just take a look at tomorrow's. You know, we have Serena and Vinci. I don't expect much of anything different from that. You have a couple nice ones, though, the rest of them. Kuznetsova plays Kerber. This is, you know, sort of the annual Kuznetsova renaissance here at a slam. Former champion at Paris, of course. And Radwanska Ivanovic, I think this is kind of Ivanovic's ceiling from my experience in recent years. I think Radwanska will get through that. The other one is Suarez, Navarro, or Rani. Any thoughts on, I guess, the women's for tomorrow?
Well, you know, I think Kerber Kuznetsova, I think, is the most kind of appealing in terms of, you know, all the different things at stake. Kerber's really a quality player. She hasn't played that well this year. So Kuznetsova actually has a pretty good look at getting to the quarters where she'd have to play Serena. Radwanska Ivanovic, I've got to go with Aga on that one. Suarez and Varani ought to be a very entertaining mix-up, but Irani, I think, has just got too much retrieving ability, and she's too steady for Suarez Navarro, even though she's a real nice, interesting player, little slice backhand in there, a little coming to the net, but I think Irani should not have much trouble with that.
Good stuff. Once again, from Pete Bodo in Paris, we'll talk again tomorrow here on the podcast. So join us then. Ed McGrew again for Peter Bodo once again.
You've been enjoying Tennis.com's weekly podcast. Thanks for listening. For all the latest news and events, head over to tennis.com.